All right, it is great to see everyone this morning. What a wonderful day, beautiful weather. Very grateful that we can be here. I want to welcome our visitors. We have several, of course, family and friends, new in-laws, right? And so we're happy to have them here and others. If we have any other visitors, we're grateful that you're here. It encourages us that you're here. I pray that we are an encouragement to you. Now, before I forget, if you came in that door, you saw several buckets of roses. They're left over from the wedding. Take one, take a half dozen, take a dozen, right? Go make a bouquet or what have you. Please take those. Make us feel better price-wise that they're not going away. So take one of those. Of course, we had a wedding yesterday. You know, I remember reading somewhere some of the most stressful things that you could do is start a new job, move, wedding. For us in the last 6 months, check, 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 right? And then throw in a couple college graduations and some other things. And that's why at about 3 in the morning, we're heading to Pensacola. We're going to beat the traffic. We're going to head down there. We'll be down there until Saturday. So I think that we deserve a little break for the week. So we won't be here Wednesday, but we will see you, Lord willing, next Sunday. And we got a lot of people traveling. If you look around, we got a lot of people that are on the road, going different places for the weekend. So say a prayer for their safety, for our safety. We got a lot of folks traveling, so keep them in your prayers. Now, this morning's lesson, you know, I knew several weeks ago that we were going to have the kind of week that we had, right? And I was thinking, well, what's the easiest sermon I could come up with, right? Because I know I wasn't going to have time to really develop it as much as I'd like and to study it throughout the week and to memorize everything I like to memorize. And plus, we just had a wedding, so I'm thinking love, right? And so I thought, well, I'll just do a sermon on love. And it fits with our theme for the year, right? We're talking about making an impact. And in this section here, we're talking about looking out. So it fits with our theme. And I thought, you know, what topic in the Bible that anywhere I go just about, I can see this a topic of love, you know, just so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Easiest topic I could possibly do, right? It's almost like God couldn't write enough about love. And so we're going to examine that this morning. And I want you to think about, you know, when you think about love, how beautiful is it to give, right? If you think about someone in your life that's been generous to you, it's almost impossible to view them in a negative light, right? You know, someone that's given you things, someone that's generous to you, you know, it's hard to think about them in a bad way. So I want you to think about that this morning, how beautiful it is when someone lives out the second greatest commandment in their life. Right? How beautiful is it when you see someone, especially when it's directed at you, living out the second greatest commandment? Right? Isn't it beautiful when you see people give that? And so this morning, as we think about this, what I would like you to do is I want you to think about, you know, how does living out the second greatest commandment, how does that look like in your life? You know, if you had to evaluate and, you know, you're going to make the checklist and am I living out the second greatest commandment? How does that look in your life? Is God looking down at your life and saying, yes, that's what I had in mind? Or no, that's not what I had in mind. So how does that look in your life? So I want you to think about that and be honest in that evaluation as we think about this topic here this morning. You know, how do you love your neighbor? How do you love God? How do you love the people around you? Right? We need to truly evaluate how we love and make sure our love is healthy. So we're going to do a topical study on love this morning. And of course, that greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And again, it's like God couldn't write enough about love in Scripture here. So as we begin here, I want you to think about who is it that we owe this love to? What is this debt that we owe to mankind? Now, over in Romans chapter 1, verse 14, Paul said, I am in debt or I am obligated. Then we get over to Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, and we read this. Owe no one anything. But, well, Paul, you said you're in debt. You're obligated. Now here you're saying, you know, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. And he goes on and he talks about the Ten Commandments, the ones that deal with loving our neighbors, ourselves, and he even sums it up there in a few more verses saying, if you sum all that up, it's all about loving your neighbors yourself. So what is Paul getting at here when you read this, when you think about this? You know, what is it that we owe to all men? Now, everyone here this morning owes something to the electric company, right? Now, you paid your bill beginning of last month, and you'll pay it again beginning of this next month, right? Now, you're not past due, but you're in debt to the electric company, right? And so I want you to think about this here, what Paul is teaching. He's talking about being past due on things. So if you want electricity at your house, there's never going to be a point in your life where you're not in debt, right? You're not in debt to pay that. Now, you might not be past due. Now, of course, if the first comes and you don't pay it, I don't know how long it'll be, but, you know, they're going to turn off your electricity, right? So Paul's point here is there's never going to come a time in your life where you're not under obligation, that you're not in debt to pay love to others, right? As a Christian, you need to wake up every morning understanding, believing that you're in debt to give out the second commandment to everybody. Right? There's never going to come a time in your life you say, I'm done, I've paid enough love, and I don't have to pay any more. No, you're obligated. You're in debt, he says. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Now, what does this debt look like? John, the 13th chapter. We're going to see here, we find that this debt that we pay is a mark of identity of us as Christians. John the 13th chapter and verse 34. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35. By this all will know. Now notice that. Do you like to write in your Bible? If you do, I want you to underline that part right there. By this all will know that you are my disciples if it's conditional, if, well, what, Jesus? He says right here, if you love one another. You see, it's a mark of identity of who we are. How do you know if someone's a Christian? Well, you know, look at the way they care for each other. Look at the way that they love each other. Right? It's a mark of identity of who we are. Right? And if we don't see that payment made each and every day, it doesn't matter what they say. They're not living the Christian life, right? How are people going to recognize this? Well, it's the way that we care for each other. It's the way that we love one another. That's what Jesus is talking about here. It's that mark of identity. And over in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11, I guess we're just to sum that up, basically saying if you hate your brother, you're walking in darkness. If you love your brother, you're walking in light. Now, why do we call this a mark of identity here? You know, do you think he's literally talking about when you see someone, you know, they're walking around, they hate the brother, they're going to have a dark cloud over them? Or they're walking around and they love their brother, they got a bright light shining down on them? Well, of course not. That's not what he's talking about here. Right? What's he saying here? He's saying, you know, if you hate people, there might not be, you know, physical darkness surrounding you, but you're walking in darkness. It's a mark of identity. Right? It doesn't matter what you say if you hate your brother or if you're not exhibiting, living out the second greatest commandment in your life. It's a mark of identity, right? Just like uniform. We know what uniforms are. If a police officer walked in this room, we said, that's a police officer, right? Your child's sports team, they wear the uniform of that. It's a mark of identity. It identifies what they're a part of. Our uniform is, how do we love each other? Right? How do we care for each other? How are we living out the second greatest commandment in our lives? It's an absolute mark of identity. Now, Matthew, the fifth chapter, stay with me. We're doing a topical study on love. Now, as you turn your Bibles here to Matthew, the fifth chapter, I want you to think about it's not only a distinguishing mark, but it's also something that we owe to all people here. Now, we can go down a long list right now of people that we are obligated to show love to, right? But let's just go to the extreme here, right? Let's go to a group of people. If we have never heard this before, and this is our first time reading this, we would say, wait a second. He didn't really mean that. Let me read that again. You know, surely God didn't mean that. Well, yes, he did. I want you to look at it here. He did mean this. Verse 44, Matthew 5, but I say to you, love your enemies. So who do we owe this to? Instead of love, he says, even our enemies. All right, what is this love going to look like if we're going to love our enemies? He said right here, it's going to look like this. You're going to bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. You're going to pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And then you keep going to verse 45. You see this here? In other words, he didn't say God is good to those who are good. God is good to those who are bad. He's going to be good to people who are good to you, and he's going to be good to people who aren't good to you. And the commandment is here that you love them. Right? You owe it to all. It's a mark of identity. You're under obligation. Right? And then if you do that, verse 45, you truly are a child of God, a son of the Father, is the language that he uses there. Romans, the 13th chapter. Stay with me here. We see in more detail here. Now, the word love isn't going to be used, but it's parallel to what Jesus taught there in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. And I just want you to notice this real quick here. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you and do not curse. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Look at verse 20, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. In other words, what's going to look like if we're going to love our enemy? Well, if he's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, right? And then I want you to see this here in verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So what's the good? Well, good is love. Someone's treating you in an evil way, what are you supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to love. What does that look like? Well, it returns good for evil. It returns love for evil. Right? Here's what you have to do. To overcome. Now notice that word overcome there. That word overcome in the language of the New Testament is the root word for Nike, right? We all know Nike, the shoe, right? They didn't come up with that name, right? It's really old. It means victory. So think about this. You want the victory? Now, when someone is evil to me, now my fleshly side is like, yeah, I'll overcome them, all right? But he's saying, no, that's not the victory. Here's how you overcome, and this is what's contrary to my fleshly side, and this is what makes it difficult. Someone does something bad to you, you want the victory in that? Well, you show them good, you show them love. You want to overcome, you want to be victorious, that's how you do it. And it's counterintuitive, and I know it's difficult for us to wrap our minds around that, but these aren't my words, this is God talking here. You want the victory, that's how you do it. We need to let that sink in here. So now when we think about this, we think about, all right, we owe it to our enemies, but who else do we owe this to? Not only our enemies, but look at Galatians 6 chapter and verse 9. You guys are in luck. My watch here stopped, and I can't see that. So We'll see how long this goes. Galatians 6 and verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now look at verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, now that's what we're talking about this morning. Right? We're talking about opportunity to do good for others. Let us do good to all. Now there's an especially phrase here. Right? Especially to those who are of the household of faith. And isn't that interesting? A direct command, clearly stated, do good to all. Now the Lord just talked about doing good to your enemies. But not just your enemies, do good to your physical family, your spiritual family, your neighbors, your community, to people on the other side of the world. Do good to all, and especially to those of the household of faith. That's who you owe this debt of love to everybody. And there's never going to come a time in your life where you're paid in full. It's just not going to happen. And we're never short of opportunities to do good for people. We've just think about some of the things we've done recently, some of the things we have coming up. You know, the community giveaway, right? That was a wonderful thing. We got to do good for the community. What's next? VBS, you can do some good for children. Plant some seeds, encourage them, right? And again and again and again, we're never short of an opportunity to do good. Think about those of our number that are sick. You know, have you called them? Have you visited them? Have you sent them a card? Do good. Is there someone here that you need to extend forgiveness to? You know, or even a neighbor or a family member or something. You're never short of opportunities to do good. And that's what we're looking at this morning here. Now, I want you to see here that this love that we're talking about, it's active and it's zealous. Colossians 3 and verse 14. Tells us that we are to put on love. And I want you to see that what we're talking about here, this love, it's not just something that you sit back and feel. Right? That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about something that just stirs the emotion. You know, if we're going to love our enemy, if we're going to do good to all, if we're going to love as God teaches us, we need to make a decision to put that on, to practice that love. And you see, it's not based on emotions, right? You know, this morning I made the decision to put on this jacket and this shirt and this tie, right? So I made a decision to put it on. Now, a little bit later, I'm going to make a decision to take it off because it's hot, right? So love, you need to make that decision to put it on, and you got to make that decision to keep it on. Right, I know sometimes, you know, I want to put it on. I feel great this morning in church, but come Monday morning when you're going to Nashville on I-40, is it going to be a whole lot easier to take it off? Or when you're dealing with your coworkers? You got to make that decision to put it on and to practice it and to keep it on here. So we're going to leave it on. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1 begins with two words. Now chapter 13 is a great chapter of love. But it begins with two simple words, very powerful, pursue love. In other words, this love that he's talking about here, it's something that we pursue, we chase after it. It's important to us. You got to put it on, leave it on. You got to chase it. You got to say, I want to love my neighbor. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. This love we're talking about is not feelings. It's not emotions. This passage alone, I think, can change your understanding concerning biblical love. I think more so than any other passage in the Bible, if you think about it, or at least for me. You know, love is something, it's part of a maturation process. And listen, according to this passage right here, you not only have the ability to love right now, but you can abound more and more like an overflowing river. You can grow more and more in that love. You know, whatever you experience today, this year, you can abound even more next year and the year after that. Now, let's think about just a moment here. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 says, love one another fervently. And speaking to that zeal in which we are to love with. And again, this love isn't something that we just feel. And I'd like for you to think about for a moment here the definition of love. The definition of love. And, you know, put your Bible there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. We'll go back to that in a moment here. Let's think about the biblical definition of love, and we're going to begin to wind down. Now, the world says, if you were to ask the world to give a definition of love, of course, it's based on emotion. It's based on feeling, right? Well, what's the problem with that? Well, emotions come and go, don't they? Now, the kind of love we're talking about this morning, the kind of love that God is teaching us about, is not based on emotions. It's not based on feeling. And I think my battery died on this, so I'm going to try not to move away from the speaker here. You see, if you're going to love your enemies, it can't be based on emotion, right? Emotions come and go. It's got to be based on something deeper than that. So the love we're talking about, it's a deep commitment type of love, agape love. It's a sacrificial love. It's based on not who that person is, but rather who you are in Christ. It's based on doing something for their benefit. Right? And many times, showing that biblical love we're talking about, they don't even want it. They don't even know that they need it. They won't even appreciate it. But because of who you are in Christ, you're going to extend it. That's the kind of love that we're talking about here this morning. And so here's what it looks like. And we see here, first of all, it's truth and love, they go together. They're intertwined. You can't separate them. Ephesians 4 and verse 15, we're to teach or speak truth and love. We're just as responsible for the love side of that as the truth. They go together. We also learn here from our Bible that it ministers. Hebrews, the 6th chapter and verse 10, we're told that that labor of love which you have ministered to the saints. So he's literally calling this ministry that we're doing to the saints a labor of love. Very similar to that, Galatians 5, verse 13, we're told that through love serve one another. You see, love serves. Right? And think about whatever work you're involved in, whatever ministry you're involved in, why are you doing that? What's your motivation? Right? When you do that work, whatever you're involved in, are you doing it because you want to serve others? You want to build them up? You want to help them? We're told that love serves. Also, love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. And then also love forgives. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. We talked about this last week, right? We talked about forgiveness. When we think about that word forgive, in other words, you're in possession of something that you need to give away. So you see, love that we're talking about here, it gives, it forgives. You know, do you find it hard to give that up, that thing that you're in possession of? When you're loving the way God wants you to, you're going to give. You're going to be forgiving. And so the love we're talking about here, he says that in Ephesians 4 and verse 32. But the next verse, chapter 5, if we're going to be imitators of God, and we're going to love the way that God loved, right here. God gave up his son, right? He gave, so now we need to give. But also here, love endures. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7, we see that love endures all things. And I want you to think about this phrase right here, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7. And you really think about this. You know, I don't know exactly what to do with these words right here sometimes in my life. You know, I don't know if I could find three more challenging words in the entire Bible. Right? When you think of your spouse, your coworker, your brother, sister in Christ, you know, they get on your last nerve, right? Love endures all things. Right? That long road trip you guys got going back home. Right? Right about Springfield. Right, another hour or so to go. Love endures all things. Right? Think about that. Love endures all things. It bears one another's burdens. Paul would add in Ephesians 4 and verse 2, John 15 and verse 13, love sacrifices. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Right, so there's our definition of love. Right, it's intertwined with truth. It ministers, it serves, it covers sin, it gives and forgives. It endures all things, and it sacrifices. Now, some final thoughts here, and then the lesson is yours. See, again, the love that we're talking about this morning, you can't find it in your fleshly nature. You're just not that good. Right? If you think, you know, I'm just going to discipline myself, I'm going to dig deep and find the best part of me, and I'm going to find this love that I need, you're not going to find it. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, God is love. You see, he is the source. You're not the source of this love that we're talking about here. You will not consistently find this love that we're talking about. It can only be found when we seek God, we seek his love. That's why Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, we are told to be rooted and grounded in love. In verse 18, he talks about the width and the length and the height and the depth of God's love, and that we should know it. Right, so God has, he is love, and he wants us to learn love from him. And we learn that love from God, and then, only then, can we take that love and share it with others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9, he says, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. See, he teaches us how to do this. We don't know this love on our own. In verse 10, and he says we can increase in it more and more. Again, it's a maturation process. So where does love come from? Galatians, the fifth chapter, it's a fruit of the Spirit. Now, back in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, let's mention this here. And he tells us in this, notice here, yes, we're absolutely saved by the grace of God. There's nothing that you can do to deserve this, but we have a responsibility. I want you to notice this here. He tells us to purify our souls. Right? And he tells us that we love one another fervently from a pure heart. You know, is your heart pure? You know, you're willing to go before God and say, you know, Lord, I want to purify my heart. Will you purify my heart? Well, are you willing to repent? Are you willing to turn away from sin? Right? And ask God for forgiveness. Lord, I'm here. I want that pure heart, that pure soul. And God says, when you have that pure heart, then and only then, now, you can be ready to love. In other words, there's an environment that's needed for you to love as you should. Right? And if you have sin in your life, unresolved sin, and you're thinking, well, I want to love as I should. I want to live out the second greatest commandment in my life. I want to love my neighbor as myself. But if you have unresolved sin in your life, you can't do that. You got to purify your heart first, your soul. Then you'll be in that environment that's needed for you then to show that love to others. That's what we're being taught there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. We need to find that environment that this love can be stirred up in. And also, I want you to think about this as we think about this environment. And one more thought here, I promise the lesson's yours. This may sound strange, but it's Bible. If we need and we want to find that environment that this kind of love can be stirred up, Hebrews 10 and verse 25 tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Why should we not forsake the assembly of ourselves together? There's many reasons, but verse 24 here gives us at least two reasons, right? Your Bible says it, same as mine, let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. And that's what we're doing here this morning. Right? Do you realize that's what we're doing as we glorify God, as we worship God? we're stirring each other to love and to do good works. And it's encouraging when you can look to your left and your right, behind you, in front of you, and you can see people that believe the same as you and want to show love. Not only glorify God, but want to show love. What did we learn this morning? Well, we've learned that we are always in debt to love. You're never going to escape the fact that you owe that debt of love. You're never going to come to that point in your life where you say, I've loved enough. It's not the way it works. You're in debt. You're obligated to show that love to everyone, to all, each and every day. We know here, as we looked at that love that we actually owe to each other, you know, it ministers, it serves, it sacrifices, all of those things. And the love that we're talking about here, you know, we don't have this love within us. We need to seek God's love, for He is the source of love. Then we can truly live out the second greatest commandment in our lives. This morning, that distinguishing mark of loving one another, does it shine in your life? Again, if you are to evaluate what that looks like in your life, what answer would you come up with? You know, of all the things that we talked about this morning, how important it is to love, as much as God has talked about it, as important as that is, there's one more thing that we could say is more important than loving one another. And that is loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. This morning, have you loved God as you should? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, there's a day coming. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9, we're told that Jesus is returning with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and do not obey his gospel. Do you understand that you can know God, you can believe in God, you can believe he's the one and only true Jehovah God, creator and sustainer of all things, but yet not obey his gospel? And Jesus is coming, and he's going to take vengeance on those who don't obey his gospel. His words, not mine. And you might be thinking, all right, well, what's the gospel? I want to obey it. I want to be ready. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. And now you're thinking, well, I got to obey his death, burial, and resurrection? Well, yeah. And you might be thinking, how do I do that? Romans 6, 3 and 4 tells you to reenact his death, burial, and resurrection in water, immersion, baptism. You're dying to self, and you're being buried in the watery graves of baptism to rise to walk in newness of life. And you can do that because you believe in Jesus, you're willing to repent of your sins, and confess him before men. That's how you begin that journey of loving God, and then you can begin that journey of loving your neighbors yourself. If you're subject to the gospel invitation this morning, don't hesitate. Don't wait. Let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.
Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving hand, wakened by kindness, that were broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it.